Good morning. Many of us have two faces or images. The image we try to present to others and a secret image or private picture of ourselves. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. You come to church on Sunday morning and the people who see you, the exterior you, the one that has it all together, that smiles all the time and appears to be doing great. But inwardly, you might be thinking something like, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I stink as a father or mother, I'm too fat. No one loves me, I wish I were different. I'm not a good Christian, God couldn't want anything to do with me. And the truth of the matter is that deep down inside, you despise yourself, or at least some parts of yourself. And when you feel that way about yourself, it is a dramatic effect on your life and the lives of the people who are closest to you. What I want to do this morning is to help you have an idea and have a victory over your low self-esteem by getting some instruction from the Word of God. But first, I want us to look at a few minutes to discover the dangers of distorted mirrors. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's read one verse in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Do you look upon things after the outward appearance? If any man thrust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings, Lord, that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for this church. We thank you, Father, for each member. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this message and help us to overcome and have victorious living in our life today. For all these things, we ask in your name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be starting a new series of messages calling for victorious living. The sermon series is entitled Victorious Living. And the message we want to cover today is victory over a low self-image. Many of us have a low self-image. Many of us don't think that we're suitable to get out in public. Many of us don't think we are the children of God. And many of us don't think we have a right to be called a Christian. Now, I'm holding a mirror here in my right hand, and when I look in it, I see certain things. And what I see is dependent on what preconceived notions I have about what is or is not of worth. The problem I found is that people might have an unrealistic view of what they look like, or how smart they are, or how successful they are. And that they have a distorted view of the value of those things. In other words, most people have the wrong perception of what it is and what is not of value, leading them to devalue themselves because they do not meet the faulty expectations they have for themselves. Let's consider some of the false mirrors, perceptions that many of us hold. Number one, the appearance in the mirror. My value depends on how I look. Extreme makeovers are, in fact, was on TV on each week that detailed drastic cosmetic surgeries that people were undertaking to change their appearance. Of the 6.6 million cosmetic plastic surgery patients in a recent year, nearly a third had multiple procedures at the same time. Total makeovers include cosmetic dentist, Botox injections, and other cosmetic enhancements. The average cost runs about $20,000. I think I could find something to do with $20,000 other than put it on my looks. But these people had a bad self-image of themselves. They had a low self-esteem. They had a low self-image. So they thought they needed to increase their looks or make themselves look better. Now, if you've ever watched interviews with any of these people who have had the surgeries, they'll always talk about what a boost it gave to their self-image. There's only one problem. It doesn't last. Because they are basing their self-worth on a false perception of what is valuable. The fact of the matter is, not everyone is beautiful. And everyone doesn't have a perfect body. The good news is that this should not and does not determine our self-worth in the eyes of God. Listen, God loves you just the way you are. God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you are in your life, God still loves you. It's not about what you look like. It's not about what you feel like. It's not about any of those things. Notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 says. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? God does not look on things in the outward appearance. God looks on things of the heart. We need to understand that God is a God that does not care what you look like, how bad you smell, or how rich you are. He wants you to all come to Him in your life and surrender your life to Him. Listen, my friend. Secondly, we have the performance mirror. My value depends on what I can do. Just before I came up here to preach, I heard a song leader do a great job of singing. I also heard our piano player do a great job of playing the piano. Guess what? According to my wife, I can't sing that great, and I certainly can't play any instrument that brings glory to God. But that doesn't bother me in the slightest, because my self-image and self-perception isn't built on what I cannot do. Too many of us allow our self-image to be determined by what grades we get, what our level of education is, and how much money we make, how far we've moved up the corporate ladder. But there's a great danger in that, because there is always someone who is smarter than you, makes more money than you, and is who is more accomplished than you are. It is a lose-lose situation, and it will destroy you if you pray to it. Listen, then there's the status mirror. My value depends on what others think of me. When a person speaks negatively about himself and puts himself down, it usually because he is feeling incompetent, unimportant, or unloved. And usually, they feel that way because someone has told them that. It might be their parents, or their spouse, or their peers. But someone has told them that they were ugly, that they were fat, that they were stupid, and that memory has become embedded deep within their psyche. Of course, there are times when no one told them these kinds of things, but something has happened in their lives to make them think that way. Now, if you're looking through this distorted mirror of status, your self-image will be determined by whose company you're in at any given moment. If you think that person approves of you, you'll feel good about yourself. But if you think they disapprove, your self-image will go out the window. The fact is, until we see ourselves as God sees us, we are destined to feel inferior. Listen, we all need to see ourselves as God sees us. God does not look at your status. God does not look at your money. God does not look at your outward looks. God does not look at any of these things. He looks at the heart. Listen, when you base your self-image on how we look, how we perform, or what others think of us, we are setting ourselves up for failure. Because we are basing our self-worth upon a false system of measurement. It's like measuring your height with a scale or measuring your weight with a ruler. You cannot possibly get a good self-image until you see the right standard of measurement, and the right standard of measurement is how God sees us. Now, I want to give you three keys to biblical self-image. I promise you that if you'll take these three keys and apply them to your life over time, you will be completely victorious over this self-image problem. Number one, understand God's view of you. What does God think of you? Have you ever wondered about that? Now, not what does my boss, what does my husband, what does my wife, what do my kids, what do my church fellow members or my friends think about me, but what does God think about me? What does He think about when He looks at me? Listen, firstly, God made you in His image. You always got to remember this. God made you in His image. He made you just to resemble what He looked like. God did not make a mistake. The Bible says we are the apple of God's eyes. God made you in His image. And if you're made in God's image, yet you have a bad self-image, you also have a bad image of God. Now, I'm not trying to make things worse for you, but it is my contention and experience that those who don't view themselves in the right light also have a tremendous struggle with relating to God. Because when you view yourself and we view ourselves, it is a conflict with what God says about you. Your view of God is also in conflict. Listen, and until you begin to see yourself in the right light, you will be unable to relate to God in the right way. When God made you in His image, He created a person with intelligence, a spiritual nature, with abilities that He has given you, with talents that He has given you, and a personality like no one else's. And while we are not God, we are made with many of the same characteristics and personality traits of God Himself. Secondly, God loves you for who you really are. Do you think God really cares whether you're pretty or not? Do you think that somehow your worth in His sight is determined by external appearance? Nothing can be further from the truth. While others might make judgments based upon your height, your weight, your looks, or other external images, God is focusing intently upon what is taking place inside your heart. Number three, God has taken up residence within you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He resides within you. He lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God literally lives within you if you place your trust in Jesus Christ. This isn't some symbolic thing that was taking place. If someone were to ask God for His address, He would give them your name. God doesn't change, and God doesn't make any junk, and God doesn't choose junk to take up residence in. You are an apple of God's eye. You are the one that God has made in His image. You are the one that God loves, that God cherishes, that God is always taking residence in. Number four, God has made you His masterpiece. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, my friend. Think of yourself as a used canvas. God, the master artist, took some divine paint remover and through Jesus Christ has wiped the surface clean. He removed every sin, every bad experience, everything that made you feel impure and ugly inside. And then He began repainting your life with the brushes of sacrifice, love, commitment, and adoption into His family. He now puts you on display, sits back to look at you with the eyes of the most accomplished artist, and He says, "You are my masterpiece." That's who we are in God's eyes. You are God's masterpiece. Listen, when you gave your life to Christ, He changed you completely, inside and out. We don't see the outside change. We can't see how God has changed us outside, but God has changed us inside and outside. Listen, my friend, we are God's masterpiece. Every sin that was in our life, from the time we were born until the time we give our heart to Christ, He removes every sin, every bad experience, everything that made you feel impure and ugly inside, and He began to paint a whole new picture of you. With a mighty stroke of the Holy Spirit, He changed you. He sanctified you. He regenerated you. He created in you a new heart and a new life. Just think about it. God made you His masterpiece. He made you one to set on display before the world. He made you a child of His, and you will never change. Number two, key two, believe God's view is true. How would you respond if I ask you this question? Do you honestly believe that God likes you? Not just loves you because theologically God has to love you. If you can, with all honesty, answer, yes, I know that God both likes me and loves me, you're well on your way to healing your self-image. The problem is that you can hear a message like this and start feeling better about yourself, but tomorrow morning, there will be the temptation to go back to where you were before. Listen. It is hard to keep a good self-image because we look at the world, we think of the world, we think of all the sin in the world, we think of everything that's happening in the world, and all of those things will cause us to have a bad self-image. We look at people, we think people look at us a certain way, people think that they look at us based on our outward appearance. But you have to remember, God does not look on you of outward appearance. He looks on the heart. God is constantly trying to make you a better person. Listen, James chapter 1. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. And let's look in verse 23 through 25. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds. Now, this passage has a little different context than what we're looking at today, but the principle still applies. We need to not only understand what God is saying to us, we need to believe that what He is saying about us is true and act upon it. And what I really comes down to is a matter of faith. Am I going to believe what God says about me? And what others say about me? Am I going to base my self-image on what God has revealed, or on what I've come to believe about myself by using a false system of measurement? Listen, my friend, the two things that will give you the ability to have the faith necessary is time spent with God in prayer. Ask Him to reveal to you how He feels about you. And time in His Word, reading the actual revelation He has given us. Listen, if you listen to people in this world and listen to the way they think about you, listen to what they say you look like, the way you are, the way you act, the way you proceed yourself, you will be in a bad situation. Because let me tell you, nobody sees you like God sees you. Only God sees the masterpiece that He has created. Only God sees the change that has been made in your life. Only God sees that you are His masterpiece and that you are beloved in His sight. God loves you no matter how you look, no matter how you smell, no matter how you present yourself. God still loves you. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And my friend, God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks solely on the inward heart. He looks on the heart to see what people are really like. Thirdly, key number three, discover the real you. If you've been living under the illusion that you are unloved, unwanted, and not valued contributor to this world and to the church, it is going to take a little time to overcome that. You need to spend some personal time with God and others in discovering mode. Let me give you a couple of practical ways to begin that process. Number one, give others what you need. Let's look at a passage that is often wrongly connected with money. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 verse 38. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again." In this context, Jesus is talking about forgiveness and really any other positive thing that you can grant to other people. Why not spend your time encouraging others in the areas of their giftedness and self-image and trying to lift them up to a whole new level? Tell them that you are their friend. Tell them that it doesn't matter what they're going through, you want to have an association with them. Tell them you love them. Tell them, doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter how they are, you still love them. If you seriously do this, you will find that your own self-image will begin to grow and you will be encouraged in a way you've never experienced before. Number two, use your God-given gifts and talents. There are certain things that you can do better than anyone else. Everyone is a 10 in some area, and you probably already know what area that is. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 8. The Bible says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. But he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Notice he goes on in this passage to list various gifts, such as prophecy, serving others, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, and showing kindness. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, so if you don't hear your gift, don't be discouraged. The point here is, you will discover your true self-image when you begin to use the gifts that God has given to you. You may have to search that gift. You may have to try to sing in the choir. See if you can sing. You may have to preach sometime and see if God has called you to preach. Listen, my friend, you will find your self-worth when you try to find the gifts that God has given you. God has given us all a gift. Notice what Paul says. Notice what he says. "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every member's one of another. having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. That is the key right there. The grace that is given to us. God gives everyone a spiritual gift. You may have a gift of witnessing. You may have a gift of teaching. You may have a gift of singing. You may have a gift of preaching. You may have a gift of giving. You may have the gift of mercy. Whatever that gift is, use that gift to the best of your ability. Do what God has called you to do. Notice what Paul goes on to say. The point in this passage is, you will discover your true self-image when you begin to use that gift that God has given to you. Because only then are you fully living out who God has created you to be. In conclusion today, I want to end with a story that should help us wrap this all together. In a book entitled, A Cup of Coffee at the Soul Cafe, Leonard Sweet tells the story of making a film by two Londoners. In 1971, they began to film Street People. The film captured the daily rituals of the homeless, their trials and joys. Some were drunk, others mentally disturbed, some were articulate, and others unintelligible. One of England's leading composers, Gavin Burrows, agreed to help with the audio aspect of the film. During his work, he became aware of a constant undercurrent of sound that appeared whenever one certain homeless man was filmed. At first, the sound seemed like muttered gibberish. But after removing the background noise, Byers discovered the old man was singing. Byers learned that this beggar didn't drink or socialize with others. The old man was alone, filthy, homeless, but he also had a sunny demeanor. What distinguished him from the others was his quiet singing. He would for hours sing the same thing over and over. The man's weak voice was untrained, but it never wavered from pitch. He repeated the simple phrase of the song over and over. And one day, at the office, the composer looped together the first 13 bars of the homeless man's song. Preparing to add orchestration to the piece, he left the loop running while he went downstairs for a cup of coffee. When he returned, he found his fellow workers listening in subdued silence, and a few were even weeping. The old man's quiet, trembling voice had leaked from the recording room and transformed the office floor. Here is what he sang, the words to that old hymn. Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for he loves me so. Most people would look at this old homeless man like this and wonder how he could possibly have a good self-image. But he had come to the place where old images are shattered and new images are created. He had come to the cross, to Jesus' blood, and discovered that God has proved that he was worth much in his eyes by sending his son to die on the cross for his sins. While everything external cried out loser, the cross proved he was a winner in God's eyes. You see, he did what we all need to do. Came to the living waters of God's grace and be made whole. He made a trip there like all people should make. The question is, have you made that trip there? Have you been to the living waters of God? Have you been made right with God so that you could live your life to the full assurance that he offers? You can today by accepting his offer of eternal life. Listen, my friend, God loves you No matter where you are in life, no matter what you face in life, no matter what you have in your life, God loves you. God loves you so much that He wants you to come to Him. God loves you so much that He wants you to realize that you are His child and He wants to have a relationship with you. He has made you in His image. He has made you like a masterpiece in His image, and He wants you to come to Him in repentance today. Will you come to Him? Will you come to Him in repentance of sin today? Will you have your life changed by the God of the universe? Will you have your life changed so that God can transform your life into a real Christian today? My friend, that's what He wants today. He wants to save you. He wants more than anything to bring you in a relationship. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring Your word this morning. We pray, Father, that those souls here will be changed, that they'll realize that their self-image is not measured by their looks, by how much money they have, or anything in this life. It's measured by what You see in us, that You see us as a masterpiece. You see us as a child of God. You see us as the temple of the Holy Spirit. We praise You for that. We glorify You. We ask You, Lord, that You will work in the hearts of the people today. Change them. Mold them in a way that only You can. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.